We'll be having another opportunity for you to accept that challenge. Here in the state of Illinois, you have not only ministries like the Christian Activity Center there in East St. Louis, but many others, church plants, different things that are happening even in our area. These things are helped to be funded when we give to the Missions Illinois offering. This is an offering that is going just here for Illinois Baptist State Works, and we are setting a goal as a church to raise $1,000 above and beyond what we would normally give towards that end. So next week there will be a special envelope in your bulletin, and I hope that you'll take it home. I hope that you'll consider how you would give to help us meet that $1,000 challenge. But for our church, a $1,000 challenge really should be very easy to hit. So I hope that you'll be praying about what would God have me to give. There's no amount too big. There's no amount too small. Just pray, God, how could I give to help further that work here in Illinois? Well, this morning, why don't you go ahead and start turning to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to be continuing there in a message I've entitled Worthless Worry. In fact, I don't have anything to put up on the screen this morning because I just felt like this is something that is so easy for us to comprehend. We all deal with worry. We all have situations and struggles that we're thinking about perhaps as we walked in. Maybe right now you've been thinking about a worry, something going on. And I want to first tell you that I'm not standing up here as the guy who has mastered this in his life, okay? You know, whenever I go and play baseball or softball, I know all the right stuff. I've watched all the videos. I know I'm supposed to keep my elbow up. I know I'm supposed to watch the ball and keep my eye on the ball all the way to the bat. And I know I'm supposed to pick up my foot, put it down, and swing through. I know all those things about hitting. I could probably teach someone how to hit, but yet I don't always hit very well because I forget something. Either I won't watch that ball all the way to the bat, or I'll drop my shoulder, or I'll do something incorrect. And you know what? That's what happens in the Christian life. We know what we're supposed to do, and it's this constant battle of seeing, here's the standard. How do I live within the standard? So first of all, I don't want you to say, well, of course, Pastor Heath preached on this. He doesn't have a worry in the world. Nothing ever goes wrong in his life. And people have told me that. Well, you're a pastor. You don't deal with things. I'm like, do you think I just go like in the closet behind the stage until next Sunday and then I come out again? That's not what happens. You know, I am living a life just like you. It just so happens that I'm living a life as a pastor. This morning, the question is this: what is life all about? What is life really all about? Because as you start to forget what life is really all about, worry can take over. Take a look, Matthew chapter 6, read verse 25 with me. Jesus continues to preach, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? That's really isn't life more than the things that we're spending our time worrying about? Is not life more? That's what Jesus is saying. Here's all the things we get distracted by. Is that what we want life to be? Is that what God has declared life to be? No, he says life is more than the food that you eat or the clothes that you wear. Life is more. But we've accepted a counterfeit. This world keeps telling us what's truly important, and sometimes us as believers, we allow our priorities to be shifted because we see other people worrying and we think, oh, they're worrying more than me. Maybe I should start worrying more. Maybe I need to catch up. Maybe I'm not worrying enough. Maybe I need to think about these things more often. These are the questions we need to be thinking about this morning. Am I accepting a counterfeit? What is life really about? What has God called me to, and what is God offering to the believer? Is God just offering us the same life that all the lost people live, except we go to heaven at the end? Is not life more than what we're spending our time struggling on? Let's just pray about that for a moment this morning. You know what? Before I pray, whatever worry you walked in here with, and maybe you say, well, Pastor Heath, I've got two. That's okay. Whatever worry you walked in here with, why don't you just right now between you and the Lord say, Lord, I'm ready to give this up. And I recognize that it's not doing me any good. Maybe you haven't talked to him about these things you're concerned about and worried about. Why don't you take just a moment and just ask God to speak to your heart, even in the midst of the things that you walked in here already worried about. God, we live in a troubling world. We live in a world that has a lot of trouble, but you tell us to take heart because you have overcome the world. We thank you for that. And God, remind us, if you've overcome the world and you've overcome sin, then you can overcome anything that is worrying us, anything that's keeping us anxious and unable to sleep at night. Lord, speak to our hearts this morning, not out of the words I have to say, but out of your holy word. Lord, let us have it be a reminder to us throughout this week and throughout these moments, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. As I was studying this message this week, I'm always trying to think, you know, if I was teaching a Sunday school lesson, I would have a point, but I would probably take us through and, you know, we'd try to hit every single word. But, you know, it really is, what is the point of today? And a real focus is that worry loses sight of who God is. Do you think that's true? That when you worry, it's partly because you're losing sight of who God is. You're losing sight of how big God is. You're losing sight of everything that God has ever done, not just for you, but that he's ever done. Let's keep reading Matthew chapter 6, verses 26 through 29. You'll see what I mean. He goes on to say, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. We worry because we lose sight of who God is. And who do those verses tell us God is? They tell us he's creator. He's made everything. He is not only creator, he is provider. He knows what we need. He's able to bring it into our lives. And he knows the greatest need we have is not food. You say, well, I have to have food to live. That's not the greatest need you have. Clothing, place to live, all those things, those are not your greatest need. Your greatest need is to have your sin forgiven. Every one of us have sin. And you know what? If we were to be honest with ourselves and say what causes us to forget who God is and what causes us to worry, it's sin. It's us being distracted by the things that God tells us not to be distracted by. You're going to feel like this is a bit of a repeat of the previous messages, but all throughout Matthew chapter 6, you keep seeing this balance. You can focus on the physical, or you can focus on the spiritual. Which one's going to make you healthier? Which one's going to allow you to sleep at night? And so here we see God is creator and provider. And in verse 27, Jesus says, you know, you've been worrying. What has that done for you? What has worry done for you? Is it adding years to your life? Is it making you taller? Is it bringing your hair back? What has it done? He says nothing. And you know what? We all know, we've heard and we've read that, you know, worry is detrimental to your health. I was reading and learning a little bit more about this. I've always read and heard that, you know, if you worry a lot, it's bad for your health. But, you know, it's this situation that we have, the fight or flight. You know, when you're in a situation, you're deciding if you're going to stay and fight, if you're going to run away and live to fight another day. But literally, your body makes hormones that act as fuel. So that as you're making that decision, if you have to fight your way out or you need to run away, your body is providing literal fuel for your body to burn. And if you're creating fuel that you're not going to burn, you're just throwing extra fuel into your body and it's not healthy for you. It'd be like, you know, your car and you're filling up your gas tank and it says it's full and you're like, well, I'm just going to keep filling it up. No, you're just wasting it. And that's the situation here. God is telling us, listen, have you forgotten who I am? When you're worrying and you're thinking, basically taking it upon yourself, how's that working out for you? I mean, is that working out so well that you say, I'm going to worry again today? That was so great yesterday. I had trouble eating and I had to take some Tums and I couldn't sleep even though I was in bed for 2 hours. That was great. I think I'll just worry again today. But that's what we do. We know it's worthless. We know it didn't do anything for us yesterday, but we come back to it. Why? Because we forget who God is sometimes, don't we? We forget what God's done, haven't we? and it causes us to fall into worry. Worry comes down to what you seek and how you seek it, this physical versus spiritual. Let's take a look. Matthew chapter 6, verses 30 through 32. We're going to be here for a little bit. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Here it's again making this statement. Jesus is again reminding us of the worthlessness of seeking after the physical. In fact, he uses this word seek. Now, we sang that little chorus a little bit ago. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. That's in verse 33 that's getting ready to come up. And in fact, both verses use the word seek, but they weren't the same word that Jesus said. They're slightly different. When you see verse 30, and he says, in verse 32, for the Gentiles seek after all these things. Gentiles is another word that's being used for lost people. Now, most of us in this room are Gentiles, but we're not Jewish by nature. But in this situation, he's specifically talking about those who do not know God. And he says they're seeking after all these things. But this word seek is a word that says they are craving these things. They're clamoring for them. They're getting themselves all worked up to try to get all these things that they need. And he's saying they are once again accepting the counterfeit. They have made all of those things that the world has to offer their priority. And by doing so, they have missed out. God says, listen, I know that you have verse 31 needs. I know that you need food. I know that you need drink. I know that you need clothing. I already know that you need these things. God is saying, you have to trust that I already know what you need often before you know that you need it. God is trying to make this clear, and he says, do not be anxious. Now, that sounds like a command to me. You know, sometimes if you ever try to tell your children something or your grandchildren something, and you've said, do not, and they do it, a lot of times you're going to say, was I not clear? You know, one of the things that was always so tough was when my mom would make desserts, and I don't know why she would make them sometimes the day before we were going to eat them. I mean, just make it on the day of. I mean, I don't do all that much cooking, so I guess there is a little bit of work that goes into those things. But you know, mom would make a cake or something for after Sunday lunch, and she would say, do not eat this. That's a command, folks. That's a command. And so sometimes we look and we say, well, you know, God says do not be anxious, but you know, it's not in the Ten Commandments. So is this like something I have to do? No. God is giving us a command. So when you choose anxiousness and worry, and God tells you not to, it is a what? Look, we are in Sunday school. That's great. It's a sin. That's right. Every time God says, don't do this, and you do it, or he says, do this, and you don't, that's sin. We may not like to think of it that way because we're saying, well, I'm not really hurting anybody. No, you are. You're hurting yourself. And there's a good chance you're hurting your family. There's a good chance you're hurting your coworkers. There's a good chance you're hurting a lot more people than you're giving yourself credit for. I want us to look at a couple other scripture verses. You can write these down, remember these. I think this is important to see that God is clearly communicating this idea throughout scripture, helping us to balance the physical versus the spiritual. Go ahead and keep your finger in here. Turn over to Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. This is a passage that my wife loves. She quotes this one often to people. I've heard her use it many times. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. The Word of God says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. God's Word says, Don't worry, pray. Worrying is not praying. Thinking about a problem is not praying. Praying is praying. Speaking to the Lord about the situation is prayer. And it says that little thing with thanksgiving, remembering what God has done before. We'll get into that a little bit more, but there's something to be said for giving God the glory for how he has worked before. Because when you remember that God was there last time, you remember much more quickly that God is there right now, that God cares. I want you to also look over at Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Because as we're talking about this idea of a counterfeit, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 are very important. I would encourage you to memorize them, to put them into your mind. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says very simply, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You can live like the world. You can come in here for an hour on Sunday and still go out and live like the world, and this does us no good. The Bible is saying, don't live like the lost. God didn't save you to keep living the same life you were already living. He saved you to cover your sin and show you there's a new life to be lived. I'm so thankful for that, that God didn't just say, I love you, I'll forgive your sin, and you just go about your business and I'll see you in, you know, however many years until you die. No. Because now I've entered into a relationship with him at that moment. When I said yes to Jesus and I said no to sin, I wasn't just saying yes to heaven, I was saying yes to everything God wants of me every day. Turn back to Matthew chapter 6. So those are two important ideas. Do not be anxious. The Bible says this in many places. In fact, says it twice in the passage we're reading today. It says it in Philippians 4, chapter 6. And in Romans 12, 2, it's reminding us, don't conform. Don't go back. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so when we go back to Matthew chapter 6, we see that God's saying, I offer you a bigger life, bigger than those verse 31 priorities of food and drink and what you're going to wear. Life is more. I offer you more. He says, instead, set verse 33 priorities. Look at verse 33, Matthew 6. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. This word seek is slightly different. It doesn't mean to crave or to clamor. It means to worship. So if you read it again with that idea, but worship first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, making that the priority of what you do, making that the priority of why you walk with God, it kind of changes your understanding. You're not just seeking and, oh, if I run into it, great. Through worship, through devotion to God, you are seeking first his kingdom. Now, we read about that not that long ago, Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, when Jesus was teaching his disciples how to pray. He said, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's already told us to prioritize his kingdom, to prioritize his priorities in our life. So he says, seek God's kingdom and also his righteousness. Just a few days ago, I was in Matthew chapter 3 in my devotional time. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 8 was the verse I picked out for me for that day. It says, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. Do you know what that means? If you said yes to Jesus, your life should look different. If you said yes to Jesus, you have to say no to sin. And if you said no to sin, your life should look different. So God is saying, seek first the kingdom, saying, God, whatever your will, that's what I want in my life. And in those moments that I don't know exactly what God wants, you ever had a moment where you didn't know exactly what God wanted you to do? No, we all always know exactly what we're supposed to do, right? In those moments that you don't know exactly what you're supposed to do, seek his righteousness. Live the life of the believer. And then when it's time for you to understand, when it's time for you to know, God can make it clear. But in the meantime, you're not just on some faithcation where you're just waiting for God to show up again and waiting to just get back with God. No, you're staying in close, devoted relationship to him. And verse 33 tells us the real problem of worrying about stuff. God says, seek first my kingdom, seek my righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. What are all these things? It's the verse 31 priorities. It's the, what you're going to eat and what you're going to drink and what you're going to wear and where you're going to live. Those priorities, when you put them first, you've lost sight of what God wants to say. He's saying, I can take care of all those things. It becomes the merry-go-round. And you're just stuck on the physical priority merry-go-round. That sucker's hard to get off of. Both real merry-go-rounds and physical priority merry-go-rounds, because you get on there and you're just constantly worrying about the same thing. Isn't that true? You're worried about that bill this month? Guess what? You're probably going to be worried about it next month too. It's this constant cycle. Instead, he says, focus on the spiritual. Put the physical in the background. And we kind of rushed over a verse because I wanted to come back to it. Verse 30. Because he's told us what the priorities are. He's told us what our priorities sometimes become. But he's telling us what our priorities should be. And I want you to see that worry is really a faith problem. A faith in who God is, a faith in God, what God does. Look again at verse 30, Matthew chapter 6. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? What does Jesus say is the problem? What does Jesus say is the reason that we worry? Because we have a weak faith. You say, okay, well, what does that mean? What exactly has that gotten me into? You see, faith is like a muscle. It really is. I'm not the first person to ever say that, I'm sure. But that was what woke up in my mind as I was preparing this message this week, that faith is like a muscle. And I think about my knee going through surgery a couple months ago. You know, I was running, a couple miles a day or every other day, and my knee was pretty strong. It was amazing to me after just three weeks of being off it before I went into surgery, like I'd lost all strength. And then I'd go to rehab and, he's having me do these things that, before had been no big deal. We'll stand on one leg. Oh, no big deal. And I stand and I couldn't. It was amazing to me how much it had weakened over time. It didn't seem to me like it had been that much time. Does it ever seem to you like it hasn't been that much time since you last read the Bible? Does it ever seem to you like it hasn't been that much time since you last prayed, but then you sit down, you think about it for a minute, you think, well, it's maybe been 2 weeks. You think it hasn't been that much time. Faith is like a muscle. If you do nothing to build your faith, then when you need it, it won't be there. But if you strengthen your faith, then when you really need it, when you come into a time of crisis, it's there. I think about it, I've gone through two major bouts of joblessness in my life. Now, one of them was, I'll never forget, before Nikki and I went to go to seminary, and I was getting ready to graduate college, I felt like God told me that on July the 8th of 2004, I should move. And this was maybe January before. I knew I was going to go to seminary, but it was kind of odd. I was praying about it, and I felt like God gave me this really specific date. And so I said, okay. So, I started looking, trying to find a job down in the Memphis area, online and checking it out and thinking about it. And I said, I feel like this is when we're supposed to move, July 8th. We're just going to move. And so, in January or February, that's pretty easy to say because July 8th is a ways away. But then July 8th kept getting closer and there was no job. Our house sold very quickly. God did that. I think our house sold in 2 days. Yeah, I mean, it was all these things God was doing, but the job wasn't quite there. Well, I said, you know what, we're going to go. So we moved, we left. And I've told you before, we went many months without me getting a job, but I'd started a journal. I'd started writing down what I was praying about, things that God was doing. At the end of that time period, we saw God do just some amazing, wonderful things and bless and take care of our family. Then, years later, I found myself in another situation without a job. And do you know why I was able to get through that time? It's not because I'm super duper Christian. It was just because I remembered what God had done the last time. And I pulled out that journal and I read it. And I read the prayers that I left it up, worried for my young family. We didn't have Lauren then yet. I remembered the prayers that I lifted up and the things I'd asked God to do and the things that he had done. Not always the way I had thought he would do them, but definitely meeting the needs I had asked him to meet. Because guess what? He already knew that I needed those things. You have to realize that every challenge in your life is just an opportunity to strengthen your faith. That God wants to build you up. And then the next time it comes, you don't find yourself in crisis. Am I going to say that I never had days in that second bout that I didn't sometimes wonder, God, why are you taking me through this again? I'm not going to lie to you and say, nope, I just got up, oh, God did it before, and I don't have any money, but that's okay. No, it's not how it was. But when I would pray, I didn't pray with hopelessness. When I read God's word, I continued in it. I didn't get mad at God because of the circumstance. I said, God, you've done something here before. I trust that you'll do it again. So how do we strengthen our faith then? How do we really get to that? Again, it's that Romans 12:2 understanding. Not conforming to the pattern in this world, but being transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's renewing of your mind. It's renewing of your priorities. How do you renew your mind? This right here, the Word of God. If you are not being devotionally serious, if you're not spending quality time both letting God speak to you and speaking to Him, you are missing out on so much in your faith. I've had a few people over the past couple of weeks I've been talking to and asking them that question, are you reading God's word? And they'll say yes. And I ask them about their prayer life. Maybe they're not praying so much. Or I'll ask them, they say, well, I'm praying, but I'm not really reading God's word. And I'm saying, you're only having half a conversation. You're telling God everything you want, but you're not hearing anything from him. Or you're reading what God says, but you're not talking to him about it. The Bible says you don't have because you don't ask. It's a two-way conversation. Renewing your mind is spending regular time with him, and then renewing your priorities. Listen, we all have spiritual priorities. We all have physical things we need. Verse 31 needs. All of us have those. We have to decide, are verse 31, what I'm going to eat, what I'm going to drink, what I'm going to wear, is that going to be what we wake up to live for every day? Or are we going to wake up to live for what does God want out of me today? Because I already know he's going to feed me. I know he's going to clothe me. I know he's going to take care of me. So he does that so I can be freed to do what God's calling me to do. You know how I want you to start thinking of worry? Think of worry as a temptation. You know, when temptation comes into your life, that is not sin. The Bible says that Jesus Christ was tempted at every point as we are, but yet was without sin. Temptation is not sin. Falling to temptation is sin. When it comes into your mind and you know the choice you should make, but you do not make it, that's when it becomes sin. It's the same with worry. When you begin to worry, what Philippians 4:6 say, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. When you're worrying, start praying. Kind of reminds me a little bit about the fasting principle. When you're starting to get hungry, start praying. When you start worrying, start praying. Don't just think about it more. Don't just worry more. And remember, worrying is not praying. Does God know what you need? Yes. But God says, ask. Let God know. And again, look at verse 34, Matthew chapter 6. We conclude this chapter. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Do not be anxious. Christ has given us a command because he knows that anxiousness produces what? Nothing spiritual, nothing for the kingdom, nothing that makes you get up the next day and say, boy, I'm glad I worried yesterday. What are you worrying about? What did you just pray about a few moments ago? Are you worrying about bills? Because that bill will probably be there again next month. And if it's not, there'll be one to take its place. Are you worried about certain people in your life, people that are difficult? Guess what? They'll always be there. Maybe not that exact person, there'll be someone else. Are you worried about your job? Lots of people concerned about their jobs. Are you worried about your job? Listen, God's always got another job, I can tell you that. Are you worried about eternity? Are you worried about what would happen when you die? Listen, God's got that one too. Jesus said, do not be anxious. Because every time you do, you're killing yourself. And you're wasting your time, you're wasting your thought, and you're wasting what you could be doing for the kingdom. You know what? This morning, let's just go into a time of decision right now. This is just a time between you and the Lord. I know this is a topic that comes up, and a lot of us have a lot of thoughts about it. The most important point is that last one I brought up. Do you worry about your eternity? Do you worry about what will happen to you when you die? Do you worry about whether or not God will accept you? Salvation is so simple, and God is so very clear that each and every one of us are sinners, that there's no one who does good, no, not one. And because we are sinners, God sent his son Jesus to die to pay for that sin for us so we don't have to pay for it ourselves. And a lot of you have heard this message before, but this morning the question is this. Have you recognized that you're a sinner, repented of your sin, and asked Jesus to come in to be your Savior and your Lord? If you haven't, then he's not. It's not about do you know about Jesus, but do you know Jesus? Is there someone here this morning that says, I'm worried about my eternity. I know that I need to give my life to Jesus. I know I need to say yes to Jesus and no to sin. Is there someone in here this morning that says, that's the decision I need to make. I need to say no to sin and yes to Jesus. If that's you, just slip up your hand, just acknowledging that between you and the Lord. Is there someone this morning who needs to say no to sin and yes to Jesus? And for the rest of us in here this morning, what are you worrying about? It might seem like it's worth worrying about, but is it really after what we've read in God's Word this morning? Are you setting physical priorities or spiritual priorities? This morning, if you recognize that you've been worrying about all the wrong things, then just ask God to forgive you, to renew your mind. Commit to him new and afresh today that you will be in his word. You will be in prayer. You will be having a two-way conversation. You will live with him as Lord of your life fully. Just take time right now. Just making that confession to the Lord. Lord, you have proven to us that worry is worthless. It's not doing us any good. And most of the things we're worrying about, we just end up worrying about the next day. God, remind us what your word says. Your word says, do not be anxious about anything. Lord, let us be people that take that command to heart. Lord, let us exchange worry for prayer. Let us recognize that the situations we're in right now are the situations you want to use in our life to build us up for what's next and to encourage one another as a first family together. So God, we thank you this morning for these commitments, for how you've challenged us. Lord, allow us to live in the light of what your word says and not what the world says. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.